There is never a chance meeting with God. You may think that this is just an encounter, but God planned both the time and place.
The appointed encounter, what does it mean? The appointed encounter, Jesus.
The Appointed Encounter podcast delves into familiar Bible stories to help us see and know when we have come to our destined meeting with the Lord. And now here's your host, Yvette Houghton.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you are doing. We bless God for you. Thank you so much for tuning in once again to The Appointed Encounter. I am once again your host, Yvette Houghton. It is so good to be back with you. Again, I appreciate you going on this journey with me, this journey through John chapter 4, where we encounter our Lord and we encounter this woman at the Samaritan well that Jacob had given to his son Jacob. She met Jesus there, and oh, what an encounter we have seen going on, the many encounters that there are just in this one story. I pray that you have been blessed by what we have covered thus far. We are going to go ahead and continue on this journey and continue on to verses 27 through 30. We're going to be wrapping this up within the next couple of episodes, just so that in the new year, we can start on a new journey. And so I look forward to the new journey that we will go on. But let's begin to follow some more and find another encounter with our Lord in John chapter 4. And so again, we're going to come to verse 27 through 30, and it reads, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, 'What seekest thou?' The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, 'Come, see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came unto him." We want to kind of focus on verse 27, of this, because we kind of went into 28 through 31 in the last episode. But I noticed that in verse 27, the disciples have come and they're kind of looking. They've come back from grabbing some lunch for the Lord, and they're seeing him talking to this woman, and they are kind of questioning amongst themselves and in their mind, and they're shocked that he would even bother to talk with her. And why is he talking with her? But they know better. They haven't quite said anything yet. But it is something strange that they have happened upon. And so if we remember, the definition of an encounter is something that has happened upon. It is a meeting that happens by chance. And so the disciples have happened upon this scene, the Savior talking with this Samaritan woman, one, a group of people that we don't associate with. We don't associate with them. They think they're part of us, and they're not. Two, Jews really didn't associate with people outside of Judaism, you know, unless they kind of had to, but they really didn't talk to them and have anything to do with them. And so here come the disciples with lunch, and Jesus is talking to this woman. But we today may find that a bit strange. I do. You know, sometimes we look at things and we happen upon situations, or people happen upon our situations, and they kind of look. And have you ever noticed that sometimes as God is talking to you and working with you on things, that other people are looking and, you know, you notice the look that they're giving, the look of how is he even thinking about talking to her? Why would he be there talking to him or to her? You know, when God does something in your life, others are surprised at it. Like, you shouldn't have anything to do with the Lord. You know, oftentimes we find again that it's the very elect that are the ones who are so surprised at God using us in certain situations. You know, God will take and use whomever he chooses. It is not about who we think should be worthy of being used of God, but God chooses who he does. When the Lord was here and choosing his disciples, he didn't necessarily choose all the smart ones and all the biblically sound people and those who seemed to be about something. He chose fishermen. He chose tax collectors who were considered sinners. He chose people who were not necessarily of, you know, the mindset of the people that the Bible says to us that the people that he chose were unlearned. And so, you know, you would not think that someone would choose, someone like God would choose the unlearned. But God does just that. He takes those who others feel are not worthy and are not eligible to do the work, to do the very work that he does. When the disciples were going forth and they had been sent, and now they are being called apostles because now they have been sent forth, the Holy Ghost has come, Jesus has returned to heaven, the people were looking at them, and you are those people who have been with him, and you are those people, you sound like him, you act like him. When Peter was caught at the fire, when Jesus had been taken and was crucified, you look and you sound like him, just the way they talk. And they were shocked that the apostles were turning the whole world upside down once the Holy Ghost came and they were empowered to go forth. They were turning the world upside down with this gospel message. And it is the very ones who should understand this message that are the ones that are looking strangely at who God is using. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but understand that when we do go through those types of situations, even those people who are looking at us strange, those people who think that it's odd for God to be having a conversation with you, for God to be speaking into you, for God to be using you, those people need to have an encounter with the master. They need a new encounter. They may be people that you have loved and respected, people who you have looked up to, people who have ministered to you, people who have brought you to the point where you are today. But sometimes even they need to have a new encounter. Peter was in Joppa, and there was a man in the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter number 10, we learn of a man by the name of Cornelius. He was a centurion of the Italian band, the scripture tells us, and he was a very devout man of God. He was a very devout man, and he gave much alms, or he did a lot of good deeds, and he gave a lot to the people, and he was one to pray daily. And so one day, as he was praying, he's praying to the Lord, and he had done his good deeds, and the prayers had come up before the Lord, and his good deeds had come up, the Bible says, as a memorial for what he was doing. And God has taken notice of what Cornelius has been doing and how he has been living. And he sends the angel to tell him, prayers and your deeds have come up to the Lord, and he sees what you're doing, and he's here to answer you. He's here. He has sent me to tell you how to get the answer to what you've been seeking. You've been seeking him. Understand that sometimes it's the very ones that we don't think that are seeking God, but are doing the most work. The ones who we don't realize are living a more devout life than we ever thought. And they are seeking God. And God gave him word that he was to send for one Simon, surnamed Peter, who was dwelling in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. And so Peter was on the roof, and Peter was not used to, you know, he had been in prayer, and he goes up on the roof and he's getting ready to eat some lunch when he falls into this trance, the Bible says, and he falls into this trance and the Lord gives him this vision of this great sheet coming down from the ground, from the heavens. And within this sheet, there are all kinds of beasts, four-footed beasts and animals that are in there. And the Lord says to him, Peter, rise, slay and eat. And Peter says, no, Lord. He says, I've never touched anything that is unclean, that is common and unclean. And the Lord said to him and showed him this three times. He showed him this same vision three times. And the Lord said to Peter that whatever I have cleansed, call thou not common. So what God has already cleansed, what God has already done, we cannot look upon it as being common, as it just being something that is not use for the kingdom. And when Peter then comes to the Lord, speaks to him and says, there are men who have been sent to you. You are not to question them, but you are to go with them. And Cornelius had sent one of his trusted servants who was also a devout man. And he sent other people, one of the soldiers who was devout, and he sent his servants with them to come and get Peter. And so Peter says, yes, I'll go with you. And they went the next day. And Peter then preach to them. He says, why did you have me come? And Cornelius explained the vision that the Lord had given him. And Peter said, I know. He says, I understand, because the Lord has made me to know that I am not to think that this gospel is just for us. All too often, we keep the gospel amongst ourselves. We keep it within the church. We keep preaching to the choir. And we've got to stop preaching to the choir and recognize that this gospel isn't for those who are saved. Jesus says, I didn't come to save the righteous. The righteous don't need it. Someone who is not sick doesn't need a physician. So why are you going to a physician if you're not sick? I didn't come to save the righteous. I came to seek and to save those who are lost, the Lord said. And so here we have a situation where the disciples have happened upon a Jesus talking to this woman, which is very odd, and they had to have their own encounter. Now, it was kind of smart of them not to say anything because they were sitting in judgment on this woman. But, you know, definitely they were questioning the master and what he was doing. And so here we have this situation, and we have to understand that this encounter is not about this woman anymore. It's not about the people of Samaria at this moment. This encounter is about those of us who call ourselves the elect, those of us who call ourselves the saints of God, those of us who have been saved and raised and we're being used. We can't ever think that it is just us who is supposed to hold this gospel and hold the treasure that is within us. But we must always understand that God is always going to do something different, and that once he saves us that we may go out and be witnesses. Peter only preached what he had witnessed. That's what the Lord had told them to do. You be a witness. And so we have to begin to give our witness. Well, once I give my witness in the church, why do you need to hear it again? My witness, what I know of God, the goodness of the Lord in my life, I need to go tell somebody else because they need to know about it. There are people seeking God, very much like Cornelius. They want to know him. They need to know him, but no one has ever come to tell him because we don't want to have anything to do with them. But we must, because Jesus didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save those who are lost. And there is a lost and dying world out there that we must get back to, that we must get back to doing what the Lord has commanded. Cornelius said to Peter, you come and talk to us. I've gathered my kinfolk and I've gathered my friends, and we are here to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to tell us. What is it that God has commanded you to tell others? It is now the moment, the hour that God is seeking to have this encounter. It is the appointed time for you to understand that God is coming to you to say, now go forth. Go forth. I command you to go forth, and I command you to speak what you have witnessed, what I have done in your life, how you know me, because there are those who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. There are those who need to know that there is a God who loves them, that there is a God who wants to save them, that there is a God who came and robed himself in this flesh to die for their sins, that they don't have to taste death, that they can too be saved from their sins, and that they can come forth, and that they can be delivered from all that their life has been. God is seeking for us now. He is calling on us. He is encountering us. He is talking to us. Every situation that we are going through, this sitting down period that we have been in, this pandemic, should have caused us to draw nigh to the Lord, that we can go forth and begin to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. We are now in the season that we celebrate his birth. He came that we might live. And I say to those of you who don't know him in the pardon of your sins, yes, there is a God who loves you. There is a God who wants to deliver you from all evil, from all that bothers you, from all that holds you down, from all that holds you bound. He wants to deliver you from that. He loves you. He loved you enough to leave his throne in glory and to be born of a woman and to live on this earth amongst the very creation that he made. He loved you enough to be beaten and bruised and battered and hung upon a cross. He loved you enough to say, it is finished. But he also loved you enough to go down into the depths of hell. No, you don't have to go to hell. No, that doesn't have to be your ending. It does not have to be your eternal damnation life. You too can have life because Jesus died for you. He not only died for you, but he rose with all power in his hands. Whatever it is that was holding you captive, he took it captive himself. It no longer has to have its power over you. Drugs don't have to hold you hostage. Finances don't have to hold you hostage. Depression doesn't have to hold you hostage. But Jesus loves you and came to set you free from all of these things. But all you have to do is yield yourself and know and acknowledge that he is Lord and Savior, that he died for you, that he rose from you, and that he is coming again for you. Please like and share this episode. Know that the Lord loves you, that he loves you with an everlasting love. He is drawing you right now, my friend. He is drawing you with cords of love. Be drawn unto him that you too might be delivered and set free from the bondage of sin. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. And until next time.